20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the Aaron Jones edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Perich, joined as always by Sarah Kelleher, Dusty Evely. What is going on, guys? We got some stuff to talk about. Things are happening in the NFL, but before we get into it, Dusty, what is going on with you, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, doing pretty well. Kind of getting back into the writing game and digging into some old Packers stuff, and it's, you know, feeling good. And today, you know, granted, you know, it's kind of an insane day around the league with the cap stuff and a whole bunch of guys, you know, not making it, making it mean they're going to be free agents and all that stuff. So, like, kind of a wild day today from an NFL standpoint that was kind of fun to follow along with. So, yeah, I'm doing good, man.
Sarah, how you doing?
I'm pretty good as well. You know, there's a lot going on. Things were quiet for a little bit, and then all of a sudden, it was like every time I logged on to Twitter, there was something new there that Ian Rappaport had reported about. So excited to break it all down and chat with you guys like we do every week. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. There's Packers news. There's NFL news. There's everything in between that's going on. So. First things first, Devin Funchess is going to at least make the offseason roster with the Packers. That's pretty clear. He took roughly a $750,000 pay cut to stick in Green Bay after opting out for the first year. So, I mean, you guys happy? What are the initial thoughts, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Let's see how it works. That video of him playing basketball was crazy. He looks like he's definitely in shape, and obviously, after a year off, he, you know, he's probably ready to go and a little eager to play some football. So I think it'll be fun to mix up the wide receiver room a little bit and see what happens. Obviously, he's willing to catch some passes from Aaron Rodgers to take that big of a pay cut, and we'll see how it goes. I don't think there's any, like, cons to it. If it works out, then great. If it doesn't, it's like, oh, okay, it didn't work out. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same mind. Kind of, honestly, same mind as when he signed, because it was kind of low money then, and it was we'll see what he has. Let's kind of see what shakes here, and if he finds a role, he does, and if not, then they cut him. They're not really out anything, so I feel kind of the same way, but like Sarah said, that basketball video showed up of him, I think, just today. I mean, I know that's the first time I saw it, of him just talking just wholesale amounts of garbage and backing it up with just dunking in faces and blocking everyone that came into the lane. Like, just a tremendous amount of fun to watch that. So I was telling you guys, I kind of did a pretty quick 180, because I was actually thinking about Funchess just even last week, and like, well, with MVS, he's got his role, and EQ, you know, he's got a little bit of a role, and there's obviously Adams. Like, if Funchess is back, like, what exactly does he provide? What does he give you there aside from just a little bit of depth, like wide receiver five? And then I saw that video, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, no, he's gonna bring something. So yeah, I mean, realistically, if he shows up and gives you something, man, that's amazing, that's huge. And then if not, you're not really out any money, so it's kind of in a really good situation with him.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I legit saw him take his first dunk, and I was kind of like, well, all right, there's a wide receiver too on the outside to pair with Devontae. This could go well. So, yeah, again, as we discussed last week, it's very easy for Packers fans to talk themselves into anything they really want. So, I mean, as you guys both said very clearly, let's see what he can bring. Low money, low risk. So exciting stuff for the Packers that he will be back. But in other news, Aaron Jones was not tagged by the Packers, so did not get the franchise tag. That deadline has passed. It's not going to happen. However, the reports came out and said that apparently Packers are still trying to re-sign him at this stage, and that they have offered him a deal, had offered him a deal of over $9+ million. And Dusty, Sarah, we both kind of had, or all three of us had kind of talked about how this potentially could just be a recycling of the story from where they had offered him top five money, and maybe they're just throwing a number on it at this point. But out of the two of you, does anybody expect Aaron Jones to actually resign with the Packers?
No.
No.
He's gone. Okay. Yeah. He's right. Loved him to death, but he's gone.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's he's looking, from what the report was, he's looking to get like 12 plus million a year, like that, the Dalvin Cook, the Alvin Kamara money. And I have a crazy feeling that somebody in free agency probably is going to be paying him. So
Ryan Grant literally tweeted at him, "Go get paid, young man," added him on Twitter and said, "You deserve it." And then Aaron Jones tweeted, "My guy," with the 100% emoji back. So he's gone. That, like, I already knew this was coming, like we've talked about. And then when I saw that tweet, I'm like, yep, okay, there it is. That's the clarity that I needed. This is over. And now we need to move on. So.
Very sad, but I mean, it is. It's one of those things, like the running back market, like you normally get that one big contract. And it sucks that he'll most likely be leaving the Packers, but I'm unbelievably happy for him. He deserves to get paid. And the only thing that pisses me off is that Mike McCarthy wasted 2 years of his career. That's the only thing. So we'll take it back 2 years from when we started the podcast, all three of us together, where I would rant and yell about how, why aren't the Packers using Aaron Jones more? So with that, we have I don't know what to call this, because we found one story coming from NBC Sports Edge saying that there's reports that the salary cap is at most going to be $183 million. And Dusty, you were the one who found this, and we haven't really seen it anywhere else, right?
No, I tried to trace it back a little bit. I tried to trace it back a little bit as I could. But yeah, it sounds like there's a source, maybe two sources, and they're also citing, and we had talked about this, I can't remember when this came out, that it was the salary cap floor was set at 180. At the time, it was assumed the ceiling probably won't be much higher. And now there's a source, an unnamed source, it seems like a single source, saying it's going to be 183, which backs up the assumption that was made at the time. So it's like, to me, it's one of those, it's so much speculation, which is insane to me. The salary cap stuff, or the not salary cap stuff, the franchise tag had to be done like yesterday. There's still not a set cap, and we're still speculating on it. So, I mean, there's just a wild thing, because even yesterday or 2 days ago, the Dak stuff came out, and that was maybe Jerry Jones's inside information of how the cap's going to move based on new TV money, and then a day later, it's not going to be above 183. It's maybe it's going to be 183. They said there's a source. It's the only place I really saw reporting it. I think I saw a couple other places that were referencing that initial report. It still just seems like wild speculation, which is crazy to me, because I think the league year starts on March 17th. So we're a week away from the start of the league year, and we don't have a set cap yet. So right now, I guess we assume 183, because that's a report we saw, but there's nothing official on that as of right now.
Yeah, I actually I DM'd Ken Inglis, who was huge in the Packers cap, and I was like, dude, when are they going to finalize the cap? Like, that was my only question for him. That was it. And he legit got back to me. He goes, I know, right? He did come back and said, the NFLPA put out a memo today to the agents that read basically saying, it's not great, but look at the things we did to prevent it from being worse. And he said he's expecting an announcement this week. So, I mean, you would think the 17th is what next?
It's going to be, this is next Wednesday? When this is coming out, it's a week from today. Yeah.
Yeah. A week from today. So I guess I would hope that would happen.
I like the idea of the league year starting. Everyone be like, well, we just think it's going to be around this amount. We hope. We don't know. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Or that 1 year we're like, hey, there's no salary cap. So all these teams are spending, like, but if you spend too much, we're going to penalize you. I forgot
about that. That was good.
That was always fun. So, however, this does get me to an old man like rant, because, you know, Dusty, before we started recording, Dusty was making fun of me for not having hair, and that was a good time that we all had. But I started thinking about the salary cap and how everything that's going on with pandemic and everything, and I'm like, you know what? The NFL, they're really being jacked. I don't even know what I can say. Like, all I want to do is swear. And now I realize that this is a family-friendly podcast, so I can't do that. But the NFL, they're not being nice people right now, because you think they have been making money hand over fist year after year after year off of these players, and that's all they do. And then if they don't like it, they throw them aside. They set them up for the worst deals out of MLB, out of NBA, and all these things. Like, they don't guarantee all their contracts. It's none of this. Like, there's nothing good about it for the players. And yet they have one down year, and they're like, "You guys got to pay for this. This is your fault. You're not going to make as much money. We're not going to pay you that much this year. Maybe we'll ease it back." While they are getting monstrous contracts from these people that want to project the games for TV on the internet, all this kind of stuff. So, like, you think about it on the big scale, it's infuriating. It is infuriating that they're taking this stance. And, you know, it goes back and forth between the whole concept of being a fan of a team and siding with the, like, billionaire owner versus siding with the players. And that's a concept I still won't understand why people go that way. But just, honestly, just pisses me off to think that they're scaling back the salary cap after 1 year of maybe taking a little bit of a loss, but, you know, 2-3 decades of just making a crap ton of money. So that's the end of my rant. That's all I got. But it really pisses me off at this point. But I still love the NFL, so who the hell knows what I'm doing.
It's a weird position, man. It's a weird position.
I know. When do I ever make any sense on this?
No, I'm saying, listen, I agree with every single thing you said. It's just a weird thing that we're in. You're cheering for the team, which means millionaire owners, because we're just talking about, well, you don't sign running backs, well, but you want him to get paid, and you kind of want him on your team. It's just weird. It's just all the way around, I feel weird. But yeah, I agree with everything you said in that rant.
Okay, so there have been a lot of moves now. People not getting players, not getting the franchise tag, and finding out who's going to be a free agent. So I've got a list of now very available free agents that technically the Packers could go after, but they're probably not going to. But we're going to play a little game called Wish List versus Reality. So I'm going to list off the now very available free agents. And if money wasn't an issue, you can pick one. And if realistically money is an issue, you can pick one more. So our list will start with Shaq Barrett. They've got Joe Thuney, Yannick Ngakoue, Lawson, Golladay, Bud Dupree, Aaron Jones, Kenyon Drake, Chris Carson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Will Fuller, Curtis Samuel, Corey Davis, Hunter Henry, Coco Beware, Jonnu Smith, Richard Sherman, Matt Milano, William Jackson, Jameis Winston, and Jadeveon Clowney. And then I was going to add the last one, the guy from the Titans, the cornerback who just got cut. Malcolm Butler. If money is not an issue, who is the one guy out of that list you guys are going to bring on? Sarah, we're going to start with you.
Well, obviously, Aaron Jones. In a perfect world,
What? Money is not an issue and you're bringing a running back in?
Well, it would make my heart happy. But you asked me my personal opinion, so that's what I'm saying. In my perfect world, Aaron Jones doesn't leave the Packers. But
I like it. I have no issues.
Sorry I care, Steve. Sorry.
Dude, I've been beating the Aaron Jones drum for years. Don't start with me. But this is, you have unlimited cash, and you're like, nah, I need to pay a running back.
I'm with Sarah. I like it, Sarah. I mean, I'm not with Sarah because I'm not picking the same person.
I was going to say, I feel like you're doing this just to screw with me.
I'm not picking the same person, but I don't hate the idea. I'm going, listen, you can go a lot of different ways. I'm going Kenny Golladay. I love me some offense, and Kenny Galladay's a monster. So give me Kenny Golladay, please and thank you.
I think I'm going to go with Joe Thuney. I want that offensive line to be just stacked, especially with Aaron Rodgers getting a little bit older. I want – you know, Elgton Jenkins, and especially if there's going to be an issue at center and we don't know who's going there. So you can have Dybok, you can have Jenkins, whoever they move to center, Thuney, and then Turner on the outside. Like, I like Golladay. That was my initial thought process, was I would go him. And then I also had the thoughts of another pass rusher. Like, if Preston Smith might be moved, if he might be cut, like, there's been all sorts of things going on. Like, then, you know, pass rusher is always a good thing. But yeah, I think Thuney would be the guy for me. So if money is not an issue. Now, going back to reality, are there any guys on this list that you guys think would be a good fit for the Packers? Dusty, on you. Let's start with you.
So some of these guys, I have no idea, like, market rate, what that's going to go, because it has to be something relatively low dollar. Short term, maybe a 1 year prove it deal, you know, maybe just a couple years. But it's got to be low money just due to the cap situation, which, again, we're all assuming on. So, you know, someone like Jonnu Smith or Corey Davis, I feel like that price is going to be relatively high, although the market's kind of flooded with wide receivers. Like, Corey Davis is a guy I would absolutely love, but I think just based on, we're going to go to running backs here, maybe he's got a higher price tag on him than I think. Kenyon Drake would be perfect, man. Like, especially with A.J. Dillon back there doing A.J. Dillon things this next year, and then Kenyon Drake is more the kind of the receiving guy out of that backfield. I would absolutely love that. So I have no idea. Again, maybe he's priced out. I have no idea what his price tag looks like, but it feels like he probably wouldn't be that high. So I think Kenny Drake would be a nice fit.
I think if I can take a chance on somebody on this list, William Jackson III, you know, cornerback from the Bengals. If Kevin King is going to be walking, which I think is something that not a lot of people are talking about at this point, but Kevin King walks, you have a very vacant cornerback two position. And I think there's, you know, as Dusty said, you're looking for somebody maybe who's looking at an approve it deal, grab him for a 1 year kind of transition while they draft probably two guys maybe for the cornerback room and go from there. Like, I mean, there's plenty of guys I would love for the Packers. It's just, you know, some of these guys off this list are just like the top tier. Like, Will Fuller has been mentioned by the Packers, but, you know, I feel like he's probably going to get some big money. Curtis Samuel, the same thing. Those are some wide receivers I think would be a great fit. But reality wise, like, I just don't know how much the Packers could actually do with it. So out of that list, I think, you know, William Jackson would be a good one. If Jadeveon Clowney wants to take a prove it deal for the Packers, okay, sign me up, but I don't see that one happening. So
I was just thinking kind of like another prove it deal as well, and I had a stat and I don't know where it went, I can't find it now. But just I was thinking about with Ngakoue and like what could happen there. I just feel like there might still be something that last season we didn't see it. So that could be if, like, you know, there's some money lying around and he's willing to take a pay cut, maybe just sign him to a 1 year deal and see how it goes.
All right. Time for fan questions. So we asked you guys, and some good stuff came through this week. So we'll have a lot of fun here. First one up, we have Keith. I have been struggling to get my hands on a PS5. So my question is, how far would you go to get something you really wanted, literally and metaphorically? Dusty, I know this one, you know, went right straight to your heart. So let's we'll start with you.
Stab a drifter, man. Kidding. I'm kidding. I'm looking at faces. I don't know.
You know what's really fun to joke about? Murder. That's a really fun thing to joke
now,
about.
Now, Steve, did not say murder. I said stab. I think...
of murdering.
I'm trying to figure, like, things that, like I really, really want, and I have a hard time thinking. It's like, I don't get up really, really early on a day when I could sleep in, you know? You know what I mean? Something like that. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, I would drive a long distance. I would drive, if there's something I really, really want, like, not in the middle of a pandemic, I'd drive cross country for something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'd sacrifice, but I don't know that I'd do anything like crazy. Like, I also would like a PS5. I'm not doing anything for it. I'm just, I hope I can find one eventually. So.
Yeah, this question didn't speak to me the way it spoke to Dusty, because I'm like scared of the wind. So there's not, like, I wouldn't really go out of my way to be like, I'm going to do this or that and be really daring, because I would get freaked out and just be nervous about it the whole time. So I'm going to go with, I would just search really hard
on the internet.
On the internet. In the safety of my home and not have to go anywhere. So that's going to be my answer, because I would be too nervous to go out and adventure like that.
Okay, so I'm sorry. You just said you're scared of the wind.
It's just like a
Can you please elaborate on that?
No, I'm not actually scared of the wind. I'm just saying, like, things freak me out pretty easily. So, like, something that could do that could...
Oh, it was a metaphor. Yeah. I see. Okay.
There we go. It wasn't literally, even though he said literally.
Well, the question says literally.
And metaphorically. That was the metaphorically part of the question. Literally was me searching on the web. So.
I would not go as far as Dusty as to stab a drifter for anything that I wanted. I mean, I've done... I think when the little mini Nintendos came out, I was going kind of crazy trying to find one, because I knew my wife was a big Super Mario fan, and so I wanted to figure out a way to get one of those for Christmas. So I was messaging people. I was willing to pay, I was willing to pay over market for them. So I mean, I think they were out at like $60, and I paid $100, and then I paid a dude $30 to mod it and get 600 games on it, as opposed to the like 15 that originally came on it, which I will say was unbelievably worth it, because I have 600 games on it, and I have the updated, well, not updated, but it was, but like 2017 Tecmo Super Bowl, and it's got like Rodgers, it's got Jordy Nelson, it's pretty awesome. So you can play that. So like Dusty said, I think I would be willing to travel for a couple of things that I like, you know, bourbon and stuff like that. I'm always willing, if it's a good deal or something along those lines, I'm willing to travel a little bit, not super far. I guess it depends on how much I really want something. But when you have kids and stuff and a wife at home, like, it's kind of like, hey, I'm going to go drive 17 hours to go pick this thing up and then come back home. Like, yeah, that doesn't really work anymore. I don't think I can do that kind of stuff. So, unfortunately, I will not stab anybody to go get anything that I really want.
Don't want it bad enough.
All right. Next up, we've got a question from Matt Pickett. And Dusty, I'm going to have you explain this one, because Matt had this whole thing concept of fill in the blanks. And I read the question like 17 times, and I still didn't grasp the concept of it. But you had a good theory behind it.
So. Yeah, no, it's a good concept. I think trying to read it and fill in the blanks in this setting, I feel like it would be a little confusing. But the concept, the overall concept is this, is what article, or not articles, what announcers are there out there that you feel like most Packers fans hate because of a specific reason, but you don't hate them for that reason, or you don't hate them? And then on the other side of that, who is an announcing team or announcer that you don't like for whatever reason? So I guess I'll start with it, because why not? I think it's just because the Packers get them a lot, because, you know, they're a big team, they're popular, they're good, and so they get the primetime slot a lot. So they get Buck and Aikman a lot. I feel like a lot of Packers fans hate Buck and Aikman. I feel like just hearing Joe Buck, I think every team hates him, because you feel like if you're not talking good about the team that you're cheering for, you think they're against you. So I think Buck and Aikman get a lot of hate, which I'm not a huge Aikman guy, but I love Joe Buck. So I just think that a lot of Packers fans, if you're not saying something good about them, that you think they hate you. So I think that's that one. On the other side, I don't know about you guys, I don't have a group that I feel strongly about. Like, I don't love the Monday Night Football group. They're better than they had been. I don't like Steve Levy. Greasy's just kind of like, and then was it Louis Riddick, I guess, like, will bring some good stuff to the table. Like, I generally will just mute announcers at this point. If I don't really like them, I'll give them 5 minutes, and if I'm not a big fan, I'll just mute them and turn on music or something. So I think I used to have like a hated group, which was Tessitore, Witten, and Booger. So just the other Monday Night group. But right now, I don't know if there's any group I really dislike. So I don't know where you guys sit on both of those things.
I literally agree with you on everything that you said. Like, the answer is Joe Buck and Troy Aikman that a lot of Packers fans dislike. And they're just, you know, I think people just love to hate them all the time because they're there, they're accessible, they've been around for a long time. And then the same thing, like, I am not in love with any broadcasting duo. I mean, I really like when Tony Romo's on there and he's talking about and predicting the game and what's going to happen and everything like that. But I don't know. I guess it's just not something I'm super into. I'm not really married to anyone on that idea there.
I definitely agree with you. I understand, like, there's a crap ton of Packers fans that think that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman hate the Packers, which for me, I don't like. I listen to the games like they call, and I don't see it. I don't see that at all, but it is what it is. And you know, if you have that preference, I get it, but I would say I understand a little bit more why Packers fans hate having Greg Jennings on their games. Yeah. They hate the Greg Jennings and now, like, being the color analyst. I legit thought he did a really good job. Like, when the Packers had him on a couple games and it was Minnesota and stuff like that, I thought he did very well. I think he wasn't biased one way or another, and he had some really good information to distill. So I liked him. I don't know. It was kind of up in the air. And again, like, I don't have a announcer that I really hate, because I just respect the fact that that people can do that, because it is an unbelievably difficult job to do. And it's something that everybody's like, yeah, I could do that. I could call a game and talk. Like, I will challenge you. Take it, like, record an entire Packers game. And then once you're done, you can record yourself calling the game and listen to how many times you screw up, say something stupid, or, you know, in general, just don't make any sense whatsoever. Talking for, what, I mean, 2 hours that a game runs outside of commercials, it's an unbelievably difficult thing to do. And then be very, very comprehensive on talking about the game itself. Yeah, it's super difficult. So I have the utmost respect for the people that can do it and do it well and be paid to do it on top of that. So I, for one, don't have anybody for me that I really hate listening to. Matt also had a question from last week, and he wants to know, this was his secondary food question, wants to know, if cost weren't an issue, what would you eat for dinner tomorrow? So he knows us obviously very well and asks a food question to follow up. So Sarah, if you could I'm just remembering the pre-show conversation. Sarah, what would you eat if money wasn't an issue?
I hate you guys. If money wasn't an issue, I would have Ruth Chris Steakhouse tomorrow for dinner. It's just the best. And that was kind of when I was younger. We would go there for, like, only special. And I know, Steve, you're going to be like, oh, was that yesterday that you were younger? But Ruth's Chris was always just kind of a place, like, we never went a lot. But if something really exciting happened, and then my parents would take my brother and I there, and we would go as a family. So I remember when I, like, got accepted to UCF, like, we went there to celebrate. And it was just kind of like a very special occasion place. And I will never forget the first time I went there when they, like, brought the food out and the steak was, like, the filet was, like, sizzling on the plate. And I was just, like, blown away by that. But that place is incredible. Big filet. I would absolutely love that with some mashed potatoes. Just, you know, give it all to me. I'd love to eat there if I wasn't on a budget right now.
Then all I can picture is Sarah doing, like, a DuckTales dive into Publix chicken tenders.
Well, that's what I will be eating because I am on this.
All right, Dusty, what about you?
For me, I mean, just from a food perspective, I mean, I mean, like, if we're booking travel into it, there's just an insane lobster place up in Portland, Maine, that it's not overly expensive, but the drive to get there is crazy, and I just want it again so bad. But as far as just food costs, I'll go. There's a place local to me that does, like, big steak stuff. It's called Drake's, and they've got a $70 tomahawk steak that I had a couple years back, and I think about it, like, every single week, man. It was just the best steak I've ever had. It was incredible. And then they've got a lobster mac and cheese. They're like a smoked lobster mac and cheese. And then they also had Blanton's. We've talked about Blanton's before. We're not big fans. But they had Blanton's store pick single barrel there. That was incredible. So if I'm doing a meal, man, I'm going back there. I'm getting a tomahawk steak, some of that smoked mac and cheese, with the lobster and everything in there. And then I'm getting me some Blanton's as well. So... good, do it up, man. When I can go to a restaurant again, it's gonna be great.
I did reply to him last week, but I would go Shaw's Steakhouse or Crab House in Chicago, and my wife, it was a favorite restaurant for my wife and I. We did oysters on the half shell. I would get a fillet that had crab and béarnaise sauce on top of it. They had excellent martinis, and man, we would do it up every once in a while, you know, before we had kids and, you know, we, you know, had a disposable income. So that was always a lot of fun, but man, that was always a good time. Next up, we've got Dawn, and this is a dusty theme question. Mm. And I have a feeling we're going to argue with each other, but she wants to know, what is Fun Dip? So, Dusty, we'll let you start before we tell you how dumb you are.
The short answer is it's a snack. And the long answer is it's a stick of sugar that you dip into other sugar and then you eat.
It's just sugar. That's the real answer. It's sugar.
But it's sugar that you dip into other sugar.
How the hell do you qualify that as a snack?
Yeah.
It's like the popcorn thing she asked us last week, man. Like,
no, that is completely different.
Anything's a snack if you're snacking on it. Anything's a meal if you eat enough of it. Listen, I have a very loose definitions of these things.
I'm fully aware that you have loose definitions of a lot of things.
Can we back up? So you said anything is a snack if you're snacking on it. And yeah. Hear correctly that you said anything is a meal if you're mealing on it.
If you eat enough of it, I think. Oh, I like your phrase better.
If you're mealing on it.
If I said that, then kudos to me, because I like that phrase. I do like that phrase.
So by your definition, if you're snacking on human flesh after you've shanked a guy because you're driving far enough to get something, that is a snack to you.
You just said you're snacking on it, so yeah.
On yes, human Steve. Flesh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, Dawn, this is a weird thing, but the actual
you made
answer
it weird.
Is
that you made it
no,
weird.
No. You agreed to the fact of human flesh. I took it to a weird level, and you said yes, which made it weird.
Okay. It's still snacking. It's still you're snacking on
oh,
it.
Oh, my God. It's a candy. It is purely candy because all it is sugar, and Dusty's an idiot. So that is the actual answer. Next up, Christopher wants to know, and this one apparently also just for Dusty. So, Sarah, we're not going to answer because his name is legit in this tweet. Why will the Packers win the next Super Bowl, Dusty? So, and there's no comma in there, so I don't know if it's Super Bowl Dusty.
Super Bowl Dusty is my own thing. Yeah, it's my own thing.
Is that something
that
we don't know about?
I just hold it in the backyard. It's, you know, it's small. Each of my kids gets a football, and we see who can run the fastest. It's we're waiting for
you
to take off, Steve.
You win every year, don't you?
Oh, my goodness, by a large margin. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, and, you know, we talked about losing Aaron Jones, like losing Jamal Williams. I feel like this team, you know, they took a step up from year one to year two. I think they're rounding into their final form, man. I think, you know, the power running with Dylan is on a different level than what Jamal Williams gave them. So you've got that. With Jones gone, that stinks. But you get, like, likely some other kind of scat back, someone back there that can do the receiving stuff out of the backfield. Just the more I dig into this offense and just the trend of offenses in general, this seems like this is the next evolution, kind of the next iteration of that, based on kind of how defenses are adjusting to be able to run and pass, not even just out of the same formation, but with the same personnel and be very, very good at both. Like basically having five guys on the field at any given moment that can block or legitimately be a good pass receiver. Like that's huge, and that's kind of where they're at. And they've got, you're getting DeGuara back, which I feel like unlocks stuff there as well. We saw a glimpse of what Dylan could do this past year. We know what MVS is. Maybe he takes a small step up. Maybe he doesn't, but he's still the speed guy, and they figured out how to use him last year in ways that benefited the entire team. So it feels like, and then I think also with the defense, I think they're going to be more aggressive. I think it's going to be a better unit under Barry. I feel like this team, this offense specifically, it's, you know, we saw that big jump. We're not going to see a huge jump from year two to year three, but just that level of comfort, just that consistency we didn't have. Like I said, I think it feels like they're rounding into their final form. I'm super high on this team. The draft has not happened yet. Free agency has not happened yet. But, I mean, we saw how close they've gotten, you know, I guess the first year. Not really that close. They did an NFC Championship game, but it would have been a shocker if they'd won it. We saw how close they got this past year. Like, I do feel like this is it. There's a lot of reasons to be super, super high on this team.
Okay, so now a question for everybody. But for this one's from Matthew. He wants to know, workouts and interviews make me fall in love with prospects at this point in the process. Right now, my crushes are Greg Newsome and Amari Rodgers. What are your current draft crushes? And for the food question, do you have a brand of food that you eat but won't eat the rival? So, Sarah, we'll start with you since Dusty just talked for like 7 hours.
Mm-hmm. I don't really get into the draft either. Like, that's, everyone listening knows that. I mean, that's why we take a little break around the draft each year, and we let the people that are experts and that really know what they're talking about and that study that area a lot more than we do come in and really educate everybody about what's happening there. But I'll just keep my answer simple. Current draft crushes, anybody from UCF, rooting for all those guys to end up in a great place. And for the food question, yes, I do have a brand of a food item that I eat but won't eat the rival. I guess technically it is a place, not like a brand like Oreos or something, but I hate Chipotle because they poisoned me years ago and I used to eat there after that incident. So I like only eat at Moe's or Qdoba, and I refuse to eat at Chipotle. Like, legitimately, every time I drive by one, I feel sick. I just can't even look at it. Very bad experience a few years ago. Not good. So not a fan, and I refuse to eat there ever again. So sorry, Chipotle.
Doesn't sound like you're sorry.
No, I'm not.
Dusty, what about you?
I mean, man, we were talking about it before the show. It's really hard not to be hyped about Greg Newsome right now. Like, he had pro day workouts came out today. His RAS score by Kentley Platt just came out. RAS score is 9.51. He ran an unofficial 4.31 at his pro day, which those tend to be elevated a little. They tend to pump those values up a little bit when it comes to pro days. But dude seems legit. It's kind of one of those we were talking beforehand that, like, hey, hopefully he could fall to 29 before the draft, and that seems less and less likely right now. But Newsome, I think, is everyone's draft crush right now. But for kind of a later round, you know, third round guy, perhaps third or fourth, I've talked about him before, is Gainwell, Kenneth Gainwell out of Memphis. Kind of just a, like, would fit really well, just a quick, like, you just watch him. It's like just a quick, almost like, you know, joystick like movements from a running back that can catch passes. I think he was a receiver in high school, so really nice hands out of the backfield, really, really quick, like would just be absolutely insane in this offense. So that's the guy that, again, like probably third or fourth rounder, but would just be absolutely tremendous in this offense. So that's the guy I'm kind of eyeing, you know, day two. And then, food question. I feel like this is really basic, but it's, you know, the first one I come up with on short notice is, and I don't drink a whole lot of soft drinks anymore, but I will drink Coke, and you couldn't pay me to drink Pepsi at this point. I mean, I guess you could if you paid me enough, but I hate Pepsi just so, so much. So I'll go Coke over Pepsi.
Changed on that one pretty quick. couldn't pay me enough to. Well, yeah, you could.
It's like if you pay me $50 and say drink this Pepsi, like, yeah, it's $50 and it's just a drink. Like, I can survive it. I just would not like it. I would complain about it the whole time.
And I'm very big on, like, if I'm going to have a Coke or a Pepsi, it depends on the food that I'm eating with it.
You pair it?
It's very dependent on what I am eating in order for me to have a Coke or a Pepsi. So, like, McDonald's, like, yeah, that's a, obviously that's a Coke that they, the fountain Coke that they have is just outstanding. But if I'm having, like, at home and I have, like, sandwich and chips and stuff, that's normally something I would go with a Pepsi with, so... I know it's weird, and I'm a weird dude, but as far as me draft crush wise, I don't have a lot. Like, I think there's just so much speculation right now, and it's always just crazy. I still go to bat for Kadarius Toney. Like, I think he would be so good as a slot receiver for the Packers, and I know he goes anywhere from like 19 to, I don't know, in early second round and all the mock drafts and stuff like that. But man, I feel like if you could throw him out there with Funchess, with Lazard and Devontae, and like all of a sudden you got those four wide receivers, throw him in the slot, like that could be a fun dude that could really, really do some stuff. The other guy I've been pretty big on is the running back from Ohio State, Trey Sermon. I think he could be a really, really fun change of pace guy, especially with if Aaron Jones leaves. I think that would be a good fill-in for the Packers right there. I've seen a lot of mocks with inside linebacker going in the first round, and I can't do it. I can't commit to that. I cannot get myself excited about it because it was like, oh, this is the year the Packers are going to get an inside linebacker in the first round. I'm like, no, there's no way in hell. Like, they just enjoy tormenting me too much, so I don't believe that's actually going to happen. As far as the food question, I would say I was brought up on Twizzlers, and once I had my first red vine, maybe in high school, that is exactly the time that I changed my mind on that. And I am a purely red vine guy now, and those are the best licorice in the world. And Twizzlers, I wouldn't say they're trash, but I just not something I ever want to eat again. So next up, we've got one from Double. Why do fans not trust the front office considering the past few decades of success? I dive into the draft every year with absolute excitement, but I never really get into free agency. Sarah, do you have any thoughts on that one?
I mean, I just think it's Packers fans. They like to be mad about everything. And we talk about this all the time. I think the reason why, or maybe the root of why fans don't necessarily trust the front office, you know, considering the past few decades of success, is just because the Packers are traditionally not aggressive during free agency and, you know, around this time. And I think people assume that if they're not aggressive and their name is not out there, that they're not doing the right thing, just because other teams are doing that. So I think that's just kind of why everyone's bored right now. They see that, you know, people are doing things, but the Packers aren't. Why aren't the Packers in that conversation? And really, they don't have to be. So I think it's a very visual thing. People see that other teams are involved, that there's moves that are being made, and the Packers aren't necessarily making those moves. So they assume something is wrong when, you know, there really isn't anything that is wrong. It just kind of feels that way because nothing's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, it's in Titletown stuff, right? I mean, it's if they're not winning Super Bowls, the front office is bad. It's sustained success doesn't mean a whole lot. This is the mindset. We kind of know, you look at all this stuff, and it's a lot of it who wins the Super Bowl, and some of it's who gets out at the right time. Some of it's just luck, man, whether it's injury luck or any number of things. You get to the dance, you get to the playoffs, and you know a lot of different things can happen. And so the goal is build a team that can get to the playoffs every single year, that can contend, that you feel like is a strong contender every single year, which not every team can do. The Packers do that, but they're not winning Super Bowls. They've won, you know, two in my lifetime, which is good. That's enjoyable. I know we talked about last week, 2 weeks ago, kind of Brady and the Patriots kind of destroying to some extent what people's expectations for a franchise are. But that, I think that's that it kind of comes down to they're not winning Super Bowl, therefore front office should be doing more. Which, I mean, it's funny if you look at what the Eagles won 3 or 4 years ago. They won the Super Bowl 3 or 4 years ago.
They are now.
I don't know, Steve. You threw the numbers up like a month ago. Like they could cut like roughly 75% of their team and still be over the cap. They've gotten rid of a bunch of players and front office members, including their starting quarterback, who they were going to build a future around, and are now talking themselves into building around Jalen Hurts because that's what the owner wants. They won a Super Bowl 4 years ago, and now that entire franchise seems like is an entire disarray. And the Packers will put together a team that is in contention pretty much every single year. I mean, they've made the NFC Championship game 2 days in, two years in a row, and we know that's not like, I mean, you're not hanging banners for that. But I don't know how you're upset by things like that. I think it's just you look around. I think some of it is you don't look around the rest of the league and see what other teams are doing. You don't see the state other teams are in. Because if you look at some of the ebbs and flows, I mean, the Bears were, 2 years ago? The Bears were, well, this is the team that's going to own the division for the foreseeable future. And spoiler alert, they have not. Like, ditto the Vikings to a certain extent. Like, it's you look at what a bunch of different franchises are, and you look what the Packers have done. Yeah, maybe it's not, like, super, super sexy. They're steady every year. They're in the conversation every single year. And I don't know how you ask more than that. I think people just, if they're not winning Super Bowls, the front office should be doing more, and the front office is therefore bad.
Yep. I mean, my answer is super simple. It's Super Bowls. That's the only reason. It's everything is skewed because of what the Patriots did and Tom Brady did. And now him moving right down to Tampa Bay and winning another Super Bowl didn't exactly help that. But yeah, legitimately, it is Super Bowls. That's the reason Packers fans get pissed off, because if they were winning a couple of Super Bowls, if they had like two or three more sprinkled in there, I think you would have people a lot more happy fan-wise, and they would understand some of the decisions and stuff like that. But continued success is great, but when you don't win the whole thing, that's where people start to get itchy. And I think, you know, they want moves. They want the sexy day one free agency signings. They want all that stuff that Packers fans don't do because it's not smart. You know, they protect the team. They make sure that they're, as you guys said, have continued success, not just, you know, a couple of years and then just have to dismantle the whole thing. So I think that's the whole thing. That's where everything lies, and kind of that's where the answer is. So Dusty, do you have any more that came in? That's all I've got on my side. I think there's one or two.
No, nothing more for me, I don't think. No.
Okay. Well, then we are excited right now to announce that we are going to be doing an episode with a couple of fans. And so what we're going to do is have you guys DM. You're going to DM me. So this will make life easy on those two. And there's going to be a couple of qualifications. But number one, you're going to write why you love the Green Bay Packers. Number two, you're going to write what is your hottest food take. And number three, you have to be available to record with us on a Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and whatever other fan zones you guys are in. That's time zones you're in. That's exactly when you have to be available. But that is when we record on Tuesday night. So you guys will have until Sunday to get me responses, and we will pick a couple of the best ones that have availability to join us. So we're super excited. I just want to talk Packers with you guys, talk food, and kind of maybe hopefully we'll have some Packers news to go over. But really excited. We just want to – we love hearing from you guys with your questions, and so we really want to get a couple fans on with us for the podcast. So – shoot those to me on Twitter at Steve Perhatch, and we'll kind of go from there. And I'll share everything with Dusty and Sarah, and we'll pick some of our favorites. So super excited for that. But before we go, anybody have some closing thoughts? Dusty, let's dive into some of your articles and tell us what you're doing now.
Yeah, so next week, I was hoping to get something up this week, and it just, events conspired against me, but next week, I'm going to be starting off-season series. I don't know how often it's going to be, probably an article every 2 weeks or something, but it's kind of one of those that started small, and then I really started digging in. So the first one's going to be next week, and it's going to be over at Cheesehead, and I'm digging pretty deep into the Lombardi sweep, just kind of looking at, I dug through a whole bunch of old Packers stuff trying to find as many instances of the sweep I could find, as many instances of different variants I could find. So kind of be looking at the Lombardi sweep, doing a pretty deep dive into some of the, especially some of the front side blocking stuff, kind of what set that up. I think everyone knows the basics. Maybe this is going to be a review for a lot of people, but I think kind of digging in and looking at some of that stuff, both from playbook and from different books written about it and Lombardi's own words and videos and all that stuff, kind of digging into that and then looking at, okay, we all know the sweep, how do they combat that, and then looking at a couple very big instances where they ran some variants, kind of set up a team and then run counter to that. So really, really fun. I mean, I'm familiar with the sweep. All Packers fans are familiar with the sweep, but some of the variations and some of the more specific points of it I was not overly familiar with. So this has been, I think this is the most work I've ever done on a single article as far as just research and digging in and digging for clips and doing all that stuff. So I'm really, really excited about it. Again, that should be next week over at Cheesehead. That's going to be out, but it's one of those things. I'm putting a lot of time into it. I'm having a blast. I hope other people think it's good, because sometimes those things fall a little flat, but I think it's going to be a good one, so keep an eye out for that next week. And then I don't know what I'm following that up with, but got a lot of plays I'm hoping to look at this offseason, and felt like I was digging into the Packers' past and really digging in the sweep. I had to start with that. There was no other option, really. That's kind of where I need to start with, so it should be fun.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to seeing that, Dusty.
Thank you. Me too.
My final thought also is Cheesehead TV related, and that's that the draft guide for this year is available for pre-order. So right now, if you pre-order it, it's $9.99 before the release date, which is April 7th. And then after that, it's the normal retail price of $12. So regardless, I still think it's a great deal. There's a lot of amazing content in there. I know, like, especially for someone like me who isn't necessarily monitoring the draft, you know, consistently and everything that's happening there, it's always good to like catch up on that and read through it and see like, oh, okay, yeah, these are some key targets for the Packers. And it's just a lot of work goes into it. I think this year there's two or three feature stories in the draft guide that kind of detail like some of the past picks and just, you know, how people felt about that. So definitely check that out if you're interested in supporting. I know there's a lot of great work in there done by a lot of great people, so I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, and actually, that's one of the reasons I don't really dig into the draft is because I just wait for the Cheesehead draft guide at this point, because there's so much great stuff, and it gives like a really good kind of, here's some guys to look for, and here's why to look for them. There's just the roster of people writing on that thing is just absolutely insane. So yeah, I wait for Cheesehead to put out the draft guide, and then that's when I start looking at the draft. I allow other people to do the work for me, and that guide's kind of where I start some of my research. But it's an incredible resource. I love that guide.
Work smarter, not harder.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I will just end the episode with telling everybody to make sure that you send Dusty Evely at Dusty Evely on Twitter a positive message to tell him that he needs to be applying for a job at The Athletic. He posted it earlier saying he was thinking about it. So everybody needs to shoot him DMs and flood his inbox to make sure that happens. Because that would be a wonderful thing for him. But overall, thanks, I don't. Yeah, I got you. Every once in a while, I like to, you know, throw
out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know. It felt weird. It did. Every time I say something nice about you, it feels weird. But yeah, it would be a great thing. So outside of that, I'm, you know, everything's going pretty well over here for me. So I'm, you know, doing good. So make sure you follow us all on Twitter at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Keller 4, at Steve Perhatch, and at Packaday Podcast. Hit me up with those DMs for anybody who wants to be on an episode with us. We're really excited. Hopefully that'll be a lot of fun. But until then, we will catch you guys next week. And as always, go Pack, go.